Chapman time.
Hey!
Not quite as famous as Hammer time, but...
No. Very, quite close.
Yeah, quite close. Quite silver. Close. Silver to MC Hammer.
Oh, those were the days, gosh. Yeah. Those were the days. Hey, Jesse, now the cost crunch today. People are getting behind in payments, borrowing at strained levels, and get this, demand for food support has increased by 42% in 1 year. So we discussed that, and you might have actually reached out for food help yourself. Let us know on 2101. Also, revised driving licence procedures for seniors, they're demeaning grey power, says. We talk about that on the show today. And today, Jesse, in playground news, a popular Christchurch playground is being demolished amid safety worries. Now, one petition organiser says the replacement one is far too cookie cutter, fighting for a good playground. And I'm up to date with this because I live my life by good playgrounds.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say you would have become a bit of a playground appraiser in the last few years with Wallace Jr.
There's a very good one in Hamilton.
So I understand. Are you referring to the one near Claudeland's showground?
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah.
It's very good.
How about the one in Cox's Bay where they've got the little mini tramps built into the ground? You've been along to those before?
Inbuilt little trampolines. You got my number, Jess. Yeah. Now we go there as well. But no, the Hamilton one is really, really good. So we're talking about that. And finally, Mr. Mulligan, a list of the world's most overrated cities. Now, this includes Auckland. How dare they? The city with the Sky Tower, Motat and Rainbow's End. That's just in one city. What do you want?
Yeah.
What do you want? So my question of the day today is this. What city in the world did you think was really overrated?
Oh, God.
London, Prague, Paris, Timaru, text me, 2101.
I immediately think of Los Angeles, and I love Los Angeles, but I think a lot of New Zealanders go expecting Hollywood, expecting glamour, expecting excitement, and then you find this quite sort of sprawling, flat, no city centre, you're not quite sure where to go, lots of Hollywood's very dirty, it can be quite underwhelming,
yes,
I think.
Yeah. So you'd pick LA?
Yeah, that's just a kind of top of mind response. Sam Hollis is here. Hi, Sam.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Yeah, good. Do you ever travel to any cities outside of Wellington?
Yeah, I have. Not in a few years, but the one that immediately came to mind for me when Wallace brought this up was Paris. Not so much from my own experience, but I've heard this from quite a few friends who have travelled over there. A little bit similar to what you said about LA, Jesse.
Yeah.
That it's like, you know, all the stuff that you see on the postcards is all lovely, but outside of that, it's a little bit dirty, a little bit of a smell going on. People just don't seem to have nice things to say.
Sam. City of love.
It's a big call, Sam.
City of love.
Well, yeah.
Paris,
sorry if
don't
we have
bother.
Any Parisians.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think any of those big cities, if you just find yourself on the tourist route through it, it can be a bit disappointing. You know, you sort of have to quite actively get out of those tourist traps.
I just can't believe they put Auckland there. It's such a good city, isn't it?
It is a great city. We had Nick from Eden Park earlier. He reckons Aucklanders need to learn to be more proud of their city.
I think so. I think so. Yep.
Sam, what's on your mind today?
Well, I saw this cool article in BBC Future. It's about the forgotten medieval habit of two sleeps. So this was a kind of recent discovery made by a historian. At the time, he was researching manuscripts from a murder case in the 1600s, and he kept coming along this term, first sleep. He just kept seeing that term over and over again, kind of said in this mundane way, like it's a completely common thing, obviously implying that there's a first sleep and a second sleep. So he did a bit more research and he found that the term is used frequently in medieval literacy, even like in Geoffrey Chaucer's The Canterbury Tales. And collectively, he's compiled evidence to prove that it in fact was very normal then to split your night into two different rest periods, so to have two sleeps. And that we actually might be doing it wrong, and that the way we do it now, trying to get our sort of 8 hours in at night, is not natural.
One thing, and I read the article that you sent through, Sam, one thing they thought was that might be some comfort to people, and I know you're one of these people who find themselves waking up in the middle of the night and cursing themselves for not getting back to sleep. It might be some comfort to know that actually that's probably the more natural way of doing things.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly what you said. That stuck out to me as well because I was like, oh, okay, I'm not insane.
Yeah.
Hang on, okay, so how might this, it's called biphasic sleeping, is that right?
Yeah,
paint us a picture.
What's the schedule?
What's the schedule?
Well, it sounds like for the average person back then, you would go to bed at around like 9 o'clock, 9 or 10 o'clock.
Got it.
You'd go to sleep for a few hours, so you'd wake up maybe at sort of midnight or 1 a.m. somewhere around there, and that was often a time that you would then use for socializing. It was also apparently used a lot for religious practices and prayer, and it was known as the watch. So this was kind of your social time separate from the actual day where you would get your work done, basically. So it was really, really key for people socializing. And then later in the early morning, you'd go back to bed for another few hours and before you start your work day.
So when would you go back to bed second time round?
Let's see. It says, I think it's set around like 3 or 4 a.m. So you'd be up for a good few hours socializing and then you go back to bed and get the rest of your 8 hours in.
What do you think? You got a skeptical look on your
face.
Well,
it's too weird for me.
Yeah.
It's too weird. So what do I do? So you've got to, hey, Tony, why didn't you come around? What time shall I come around? What about 2:30 a.m.? A glass of wine, 2:30?
Yeah. Well, that's easy for you to say. You don't have livestock to check, of course, that I know of.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Jesse. Yeah.
So they actually had things to do overnight that did require a little bit.
Put the straw down, around the room.
I don't want to lower the tone here, Sam, but I also note that it was quite a popular time for baby making too.
Yeah, well, I was using the term socializing quite loosely there.
Because they found, and there may be listeners listening to who relate to this, that by the end of a long working day toiling in the fields, no one was really up for it. But then you go have a couple of hours and you wake up, you're like, oh, yeah.
I don't want to hear this from you, Jesse Mulligan, as you look at me in the eyes. I just can't. I can't do it.
This is reported, Wallace.
I just leaned back in my chair and I was like, you know what? I'll just let him go.
But I'm about a metre away from you.
Interestingly, they do think there's something innate about this for humans, because they did an experiment a few years ago where they sort of deprived people of natural light and changed up the amount of light they were receiving and went basically disoriented people, so they were no longer sort of in touch with what the day was doing. And they did find that people, even in the 2020s, started reverting back to this sleep for a few hours, wake up for an hour or two, and then go back to sleep. So it may be that's, you refer to it as weird, Wallace, but God, maybe that's odd. The natural way of doing things.
Well, I don't think it doesn't sound natural to me. I tell you what, though, mark my words, now that we're talking about it, what's going to happen now is in 12 months, you are going to get an article by, I don't know, your Bella Hadid's or your Dr. Libby's about this new thing called biphasic sleeping.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the new way.
Yeah.
And every influencer is going to be doing it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, is it that far removed from like the Spanish siesta, for example, where you have like a little nap in the afternoon?
Of course it is. That's common sense. You have a little nap post-lunch for 40 minutes. And you wake up, but
it's the same concept, right? It's like that thing of saying, you know, humans
splitting your beauty sleep,
splitting your rest periods, because maybe, you know, humans aren't built to function for, you know, 12 hours, 14 hours a day, and then sleep. Maybe you need little rests.
And waking up at 2:30 a.m. for a glass of wine, weird. No, sorry.
Sam, we'll finish with some good news for you. It comes from Kate. Kate says, I totally agree with Sam regarding Paris. I've been there maybe 4 times, and I found it smelly and dirty.
Well, well.
There we go. Thank you, Kate.
She lives in Ashburton, so make what that of you will. 2101. Thanks, Kate. Lovely to hear from you. Lisa Owen and Checkpoint and X. Listen out for Scott Campbell and Verity Johnson on the panel.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.